How are you doing, my friends? We are almost at the end of this eclipse season, and it is a big one for a lot of people, myself included, many people I'm meeting with. And if you've been going through big transformations and changes in your life recently, and you want to make sense of it, and you want some clarity on what's happening, check out the recent episodes on the eclipses, because this is a big portal we're going through right now. And finally, this week on Friday, May 19th, we finish this eclipse season of the spring. So we'll talk more about that today in the second half of today's episode about the transits happening this week, including the new moon in Kritika Nakshatra on Friday, May 19th, as well as the sun going into Taurus now for the next month. Both of those are in Taurus, Kritika and sun in Taurus. So this is a great time right now over the next month to focus on your wealth. Now, we are in this big transformational portal still of the eclipse right now, but you may be thinking more about, like, okay, what do I want to do with all the changes happening in the world with AI, with lots of major companies are doing big layoffs. Hopefully, if that's affecting you, you have something in place to work with that. I have been using a resource called Mindful Money for the past several years, something I created because I struggled with finances when I was younger. And I've tested it out with a lot of people now, and I'll be sharing that very soon. So if you want to learn all about that, I'll be offering a very low-cost offer to help you get control of your finances and apply astrological principles, learn about your unique astrological strengths and weaknesses with money, because I think this is one of the most important topics of 2023. While so many people are going to be worried about the recession and inflation and layoffs and jobs being replaced by AI and all this kind of stuff, what can we do? What can we focus on? What's in your control? And I always come back to that, right? It's like a lot of TV, media, news kind of focuses on stuff you cannot have any control over. So what can you control? Well, it's usually just your attention and where you put your attention. And where you put your attention and energy flows and energy grows. So if we want to increase our finances, the first step is putting your attention on it, right? Most of the time, for 99% of people. So if we do that with some very simple practices and tools, then very likely you'll see an increase in income, more savings, you'll reduce costs, you'll be able to adapt to anything that happens externally in the economy, jobs, employers, things like that. So I love to teach you how to empower yourself with astrology. That's what I'll be teaching at quietmindastrology.com/wealth. Quietmindastrology.com/wealth. You can get on the wait list right now, or if you're listening to this later, you'll see more details about this. But I'm very excited to share it, and those who join the wait list early will get early access and a special discount as well. So this is part of the series I'm doing right now of wealth and astrology. Wealth, one of the four aims of life. So in the Vedic teachings, there's the four aims of life. What's the purpose of life? What are we here for? What's the point of all this? If you get really existential about it, it can seem kind of meaningless. So we can look to spiritual texts, we can look to history and what has worked for people in the past, what philosophy people have lived by. And more than any other philosophy or path in my life, I've found that the Vedanta path is very resonant. And the more I do things to clear my body and mind, and like do yoga, meditation, eating healthy, living in alignment with nature, these kind of things, the more those truths of the Vedic philosophy just seem self-evident. The more I kind of reduce the numbing, the distracting, the clouding, the dissipating energy that can happen in modern lifestyle, the more clear it becomes. Like, this is just talking about like what is underneath all those layers. And part of that is the four aims of life. Part of that is the yoga philosophy. Part of that is Jyotish, the eyes of the Vedas, the Vedic astrology. So that's what I teach here. And the four aims I always talk about: health, wealth, relationships, and purpose. If you focus on what you can control in those four areas of life, it tends to make everything else go a lot smoother. And when we look at your birth chart, we can see those four areas of life through certain houses, through certain signs and planets. And if you don't have your free birth chart, go to quietmindastrology.com/freebirthchart. And you'll want to see that today because we're going to talk about signs of success as in signs of wealth, like what kind of placements can lead to positive outcomes. We'll look at dan yogas. So dan means wealth in Sanskrit, and the yogas in this terminology, when we're talking about Jyotish, we're talking about Vedic astrology. A yoga is not a yoga pose, it's not a yoga class. A yoga just is the literal translation of union, as in a union of planets or signs or houses. And there are countless yogas possible, as you can imagine, because it's talking about combinations of planet signs and houses and other factors. So we'll look at some yogas today that indicate wealth. And if you don't have them in your birth chart, fear not, because you may have them in transits. And that's where you can see things happen, like a windfall of money comes in at a certain time, or a big loss of money. But we're going to look at the positive side here today. We're going to look at the dan yogas, the wealth yogas. Again, if you have these in your chart, it's a good indicator of wealth. Okay, if you see it and you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm not wealthy, what does this mean? Well, you look at it and you look the energies around it and the placement of it. And you may be able to do this on your own with a lot of the past trainings I provided, with Googling stuff. Sometimes resources online are better or worse than others. But if you just look at, like, okay, we're talking, say, one of the dan yogas we'll talk about today is when Mercury is in its own lagna and associated with Jupiter and Saturn. That is a dan yoga. An example of that is Mercury in its own lagna, which would be either what tools, if you're a repeat listener, what two signs does Mercury rule? Gemini and Virgo. So if you are a Gemini or Virgo ascendant, and Mercury is there in the first house and associated with Jupiter or Saturn, that is a dan yoga. What does that mean, associated? I'm going to say that today a few times. That could be that there's an aspect from Jupiter or Saturn. Like Saturn is in the seventh house, therefore it's aspecting Mercury, therefore it is a dan yoga. Right now, these might get complicated. I understand if you're like totally new to me, this might feel a little complicated. But if you have questions, you can message me on Instagram at Quiet Mind Astrology. I'll do my best to help you. You can schedule a reading, we can look at it more. So this is a little more intermediate level stuff here. You do need to know aspects of planets and rulers of planets to understand these yogas. And I'll explain this more inside of the Mindful Money training. I'll go in more depth, I'll do videos, I'll share this, in more explanation. But I'm going to list them out here today and talk about it. But first, I'm going to start more basic, simple. Everyone can get this. This is something that everyone can get. So we know the 12 signs of the zodiac, right? Pretty much everyone knows the 12 signs of the zodiac. Every single sign could be related to your success and wealth in some way. No one sign is better than any other necessarily. Some seem more obviously better, like Sagittarius as your ascendant or moon. It's generally a more fortunate placement. Scorpio as your ascendant or moon generally can mean there are more ups and downs in your life and more volatility. Neither of those things are inherently good or bad. Fortune is not always good, right? You might have a lot of wealth that you're born into, but you're actually not happy and you don't have love. You have the wealth, but not the relationships, right, of the four aims of life. This is not easy stuff to live and apply all these four aims. Usually people are strong in one or two. It's actually quite rare to be strong in all four and have good sort of agency and sovereignty over all four of these areas of life. It's not easy. Like it's a life's work, really. But let's say you have Sagittarius ascendant, or you know someone who's Sagittarius ascendant. They might have good fortune and luck, but they might not know how to capitalize on that luck. So it's not always good or bad. And generally, though, it does seem like it would be good, right? Who doesn't want good luck? I'll take it, right? But I don't have that placement, and I still have fortunate moments in life. And you might not have that placement, but you still have times where there's a strong Sagittarius energy through the transits. Like maybe there's five planets in Sagittarius, and everybody is going to experience that to some degree. And where you experience it will be dependent on what house it lands in. And that could be your first house, which affects all areas of life. Could be your 10th house, which affects your career. So, like right now, as I'm recording this in May 2023, we're going to have the sun and the new moon in Taurus. So if you are born with Taurus ascendant or moon, you may be more drawn to creating financial stability, security, wealth, and being more solid and stable and grounded in a career path that leads to sustainable wealth. More conservative about money, more patient with money, more prone to investing, buying property, land, caring for a family, taking care of a family. Those are all Taurus qualities, which may be strong in your birth chart, and they may be completely limited or weak or almost non-existent in your birth chart. Everyone has every sign everywhere or somewhere in your chart. So everyone has Taurus somewhere in your chart, but you might not have a lot of energy around Taurus. Like the ruler of it is poorly placed or not strong in your chart, low shadbala or low dominance. So just because everyone has every sign in the chart doesn't mean every sign is very equally strong in the chart or equally influential. But again, every sign can indicate wealth and success in some way. So as we go into this week and we have all this energy in Taurus, look where the number two is in your birth chart. Again, quietmindastrology.com/freebirthchart is where you can get your chart. Look where the number two is, and just imagine there's a lot of energy in that house today. What house is it in? Well, you can go back to my series on the houses, right? We're adding on as we go throughout this whole podcast over the years. So let's say it's in the third house. Third house represents what? Skills, communication, short distance travel. Let's say you have Taurus there. That means you're a Pisces ascendant or moon. And now you've got all this energy going into your third house. This would be a great time to learn new skills. You may be running more errands around town, doing more short distance travel over the next month. You may be starting some new skill that you want to learn or develop, and that could lead to wealth and sustainable wealth and possibly investments over time. Because Taurus represents those things, but it's in the third house, which represents these other things: business skills, communication, trade, commerce. Good time to learn marketing skills, business skills. That is one example, right? Hopefully that made sense to you. Again, I was just talking about only the example of if you are a Pisces ascendant or moon, and that puts Taurus in your third house, and that puts all this energy this week in the third house, even if you don't have any planets there in your birth chart, or it's not extremely influential, etc. So you get the idea. Now, wherever Aries is in your chart, you may have a lot of ambition and drive to start new projects there, be more enterprising and entrepreneurial. Wherever Gemini is in your chart, in that house, whether it be in your birth chart or by transits, you may be more communicative there, good in business and negotiating there, and you can do well to have multiple projects going on wherever Gemini is in your chart. And that could lead to multiple sources of income. We look online, and if you look into like online business and stuff, there's people who are like talking about the importance of passive income or making multiple streams of revenue. That's not for everybody. Right. If you look at those people's birth charts, you see things like a strong dominant Gemini energy in their chart or strong Mercury energy in their chart. And of course, they're going to be doing things like posting dozens of pieces of content every week and having multiple streams of income. That's a very Gemini thing to do, a very Mercury thing to do. That might not work if you're very Cancer dominant and you're more focused on what feels true and what is in your heart, and you want to do things with meaning and heart rather than just to do more things and keep busy and have multiple projects. So when you know your signs that are dominant in your chart and where they're most influential, you can play to your strengths and not try to be someone you're not. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken, right? There's countless variables in your birth chart. Even two twins born at the exact same minute, or 1 minute apart because of C-section, will have similar life paths, but they will have their own unique soul essence, their own unique expression. You have free will, you have choice in how these things play out. So it is infinite possibilities, and there are some very likely patterns, and patterns you can work with rather than against. It's like if you go down a ski slope in the winter, and once people have gone down that slope multiple times, there's an embedded path, and it becomes very easy to go down that embedded path than to try to make a new path. That can work for you or against you, but when we know the patterns of like what Gemini represents, there's some easier paths for you to go down when that's your dominant sign. dominant energy. It's like you're rising or multiple planets there. Same with any sign. You could say this for Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, any sign. There are certain patterns and strengths that you have that can more easily lead to your success. And when you play into them, you're more likely to have that success. When you work against them, you may start to feel like you're swimming upstream and things are more difficult than they need to be. Especially if you just look to influencers or people online who say, this is the way, you got to do it like this. This worked for me. Might be interesting for you to try to find their birth date and look up their info and see how similar they are to you. And if that really does resonate, you may have some similar things in your chart and they may be a great teacher for you and they can help you basically find that ski slope where you more easily go down and there's less resistance because they have kind of laid out a path that, oh, okay, this is kind of where I want to go and you can kind of follow that. Again, every sign can lead to success in its own way. Cancer around maternal qualities, mothering, parenting, counseling. If you have strong Cancer in your chart, you're very likely to do well in some sort of therapeutic role. Now there's the sort of stereotype that counselors are burned out and underpaid and underappreciated. So you don't have to just go that route. And you can see that pattern of a Cancer dominant profession, Cancer dominant lifestyle, and see the other qualities of Cancer, which can be very nurturing, giving, generous, caring, and find ways to express that that don't lead to your burnout. And that might require looking at other placements in your chart, other aspects in your chart. It's going to be very individualistic of how that is, but when you see the negative patterns that play out, Cancer, giving too much, being too generous, Gemini, overextending yourself, taking on too many projects and not finishing them. When you see these patterns, Taurus, holding on to things, being a hoarder, these are the negative possible expressions that can block your path to success, to wealth, to growth in your life, to fulfillment in your life. And you can avoid them. You can choose the more positive response. You can work through the possible patterning or conditioning or trauma that led to that in your life and just become aware. The awareness is always the first step, right? Whatever you put your attention on, and put your energy towards, energy flows and energy grows. And especially with money, we're talking about wealth in this series. Wealth is often described as currency. It's like a current, like a river. And a river keeps moving. Currency needs to keep moving. And the more we try to hold on to it or we don't allow it in, then the less it flows. And our bodies are electromagnetic fields, and the electricity also is described as a current. So money, electricity, water, all these things are described as currents that need to flow. And that is basically, you know, the water and the electricity is a lot of what we're made up of as humans. And I think money just acts as a sort of expression of time, energy, resources that we can transmit through each other through trade. But it's just another expression of that currency, that flow of energy from the electrical impulses of your thoughts and actions to the currency of the water in your body. That's why, you know, it's so important to stay hydrated and move your body. Moving your body helps move the fluids in your body and keeps everything flowing. So it keeps the currency flowing through movement, through action, and it can allow the currency of money to keep flowing through your life as well. But you just got to be directing it towards your strengths and away from your weaknesses and potentially working on your weaknesses. As again, right now in May 2023, we're in this Pluto cycle where it's a great time to be doing deep psychological work. And that will be part of Mindful New Year as well. Excuse me, Mindful Money. Mindful New Year comes out in the new year. Mindful Money is about addressing the aim of life of wealth. And we will talk about those subconscious patterns that can block us and limit us and hold us back and block the flow and currency of wealth, right? If you want to stop it, you put up a big wall, you stack a bunch of heavy things in the path of the water and it slows down to a trickle. And it doesn't mean you just need things to be gushing and you can't control it and you're just giving, giving, giving. But also we can be aware of those patterns and work with them. So Leo, moving along the signs briefly here today, we'll go more into the mindful money as well about the signs and how to work with it. But wherever Leo is in your chart, that's a place where you can be a leader, royalty in some way. Like people look up to you as a guide, and it can be very benevolent energy. It can be a very arrogant energy on the negative side and controlling. So with that as positive expression, wherever Leo is in your chart, you can be seen as a leader and guide to others. Wherever Virgo is, you can be very detail-oriented and able to get things done, good at task management, time management, energy management, which allows for money to flow more freely. And I personally am a strong Virgo person myself, and that is how I teach and act and show up, and it's from childhood. Like, I had no idea what a spreadsheet was as a child, but I started making spreadsheets for everything. I'd watch a movie, I made a piece of paper, I made a grid, and started rating movies and filling in movies, and I'd find out, oh, there's this series of shows, okay, I want to make sure I see all these shows. So I started making a spreadsheet, and I had no idea, no one ever told me what that was, it's just my innate drive, right? That's an example of, like, when you look at your essence, who you were as a child, those qualities are a good sign of, like, where you'll likely go later in life. I was entrepreneurial, I was selling things in grade school and high school, and like finding creative ways to make money. And you know, it's, I have multiple businesses now, and I do that same thing now. I love to clean. I'd go play with my friends, and instead of play with the toys, I would clean the room spotless. It's one of my earliest memories. I was like 4 years old or something, three or four. I could walk and I could clean. That's a Virgo mantra as a child. But I didn't know that. I thought I was a Libra rising when I was learning Western astrology when I was younger. And I could see that. I could see some resonance in that. But at my essence, at my core, what I always was from youth was a lot more Virgo-like. And then as I got more into my body and my practices and astrology and, well, really yoga first, and then that kind of took down all my layers of blocking the truth and clarity and perspective of the Jyotish, of the eyes of Vedic, of the Vedic teachings, and see Vedic astrology, I could see my essence and my gifts. And everyone has their different essence, their different gifts. I'm not saying mine are any better or more valuable than anyone else's. I'm just saying that through this path, I helped clarify for myself, like, okay, that's it. And that's what I do now. Like, I organize information, I do deep research, love to research and synthesize it into things you can apply to your life to help you with your health and healing and growth, which are all very Virgo qualities. So hopefully for all the Virgos out there, something you can see in my path that you can learn from or apply to yourself. But again, I'm always a student first. I'm just here alongside you on my own path, maybe a couple steps ahead in some ways, but I'm always learning and growing too. And I've learned how to see the gifts in my strengths and my placements in my chart and how to share them with others. I also have a lot of Aries stuff in my chart. I have other things too. I've got three planets in Aries, you know, and if you have multiple planets in another sign, that sign is also very strong too. So it's not just your rising, not just your moon, not just your sun. It's the whole thing, the whole picture all together. And that takes some deeper looking at, you know, the whole chart, which again, you can get your free birth chart, quietmindastrology.com. You can also schedule a reading there and we'll go over your whole chart together in the life alignment reading. Now for Libras, Libra ascendant or moon, or people with a strong Libra in your chart, wherever Libra is, that's where you can find fairness and balance and harmony and focus on relationships. Relationships are the huge driver, which is wonderful for building wealth because wealth is really all about relationships, right? Money is a currency. No, but one person really holds it forever. It passes from person to person, place to place, business to business, business to customer, customer to business. It's always moving from relationships. The stock market is all just a bunch of people yelling at each other, but it requires the people there. Now it's all digital, but maybe robots. So there's a relationship there of the robot to the human, but it is all relationships. So money is all about relationships. So Libras can have a unique advantage of that, of understanding the dynamics that lead to success, that lead to growth, that lead to win-win situations that are ultimately beneficial for everyone. On the negative side, there could be indecision and sort of lack of knowing how to hold your ground, hold your boundaries, giving in to others too much, being too generous, not generous enough. It's like a constant weighing of how to approach finances that can be confusing at times. But overall, it is, everything is what you make it. So you get to choose how to work with those energies, knowing the patterns at play. Scorpio, wherever that is in your chart, there can be volatility, ups and downs. If you work in the stock market, that's to be expected. That's normal. If you are trying to invest in like the S&P 500, that is not so great, right? Because it's not volatile in the same way. And Scorpio, your life, your work, everything can be up and down, and it can greatly impact your finances and your ability to focus on your work and be productive and all these things. But it makes people very good at technical skills, which are often very high paying. A lot of Scorpio risings I know do very well in tech. So, great direction to direct that energy towards deeper into technology. What's under the surface of the computer? What's under the surface of the electric car? Rather than, what's wrong with me psychologically, or what's wrong with this person, or secrets or mysteries or scandals, which also could be Scorpio too. Sagittarius, wherever that is in your chart, it can be adventurous energy, initiative energy, a fiery kind of starting energy, and it can be really fun. Like you can have a lot of fun and find creative ways to express yourself. There's good luck, good fortune, good for travel and working in the travel industry. Capricorn, good for working in government and structures and systems, banks. All the tallest buildings in a city are usually banks. So Capricorn represents structure, stability, security, and that's what a bank represents. So people with strong Capricorn could do well in older institutions, right? I know people with very strong Capricorn who would never get into banking or anything like that, but they're really into yoga, which is a 2,000 plus year old tradition that's very grounded in practice. Similar kind of vibe, very different expression. Aquarius, scientific, unique, eccentric energy. Wherever this is in your chart, you could do well in fields that have to do with research, medical devices, technology, IT development, innovative, breakthrough, disruptive technologies. Pisces, wherever that is in your chart, you could accumulate wealth through your imagination, like cartoons, creativity, channeling, speaking through your system, like allowing things to speak through your system, like doing readings, doing energy work, doing healing work. So, those are some examples of how to work with the signs to find signs of success and wealth in your chart. A lot more to do with that in the Mindful Money course that's coming up. So quietmindastrology.com/wealth. Get on the wait list for that. Get early access and a special discount. It will be coming very soon, and you'll be able to learn about this and how to increase your wealth using Vedic astrology and a very simple tool to see all your finances in one place. Get on top of your finances. Especially if you do any sort of small business work or independent contractor work or want to get out of debt or meet a big financial goal. When I first made this, because I used several different resources and found they were not doing the things I needed them to do, so I made one. I did all those things. And the week that I made that for the first time, basically the 0.1 version of Mindful Money, I made an additional $500 in my work just instantly because I saw an opportunity of like how I could give more, how I could serve more, and how I could save time and money. And I cut my expenses, I paid off debts very quickly. And it led to a lot of increase in wealth. And to eventually, that is basically the backbone of being able to build a six-figure business, doing work I love all online because just on top of it and just putting attention on it. And it doesn't require a lot. It's just like once it requires a little bit more upfront. Like sometimes, like if I get behind, I might spend a few hours on it. But when you first start it out, it takes a little more time, but then it's just maintenance. And I may even be offering some sort of group to like do that regularly, like once a month or something. I'll see the interest in it. I'm kind of feeling into it still and like figuring out what people need. So let me know what your thoughts are. You can always go to quietmindastrology.com and send me a comment. There's a little contact section there. But I think this will be really cool and really useful for a lot of people. And I'm going to talk about a couple of these yogas, and I will talk about many more in mindful money coming up. So if you have, like I mentioned earlier, Mars in its own Lagna and associated with Jupiter and Saturn, that is a Dawn Yoga. That is an indicator of wealth in your life. Where, how, what does it come from? Well, look what signs Jupiter, Saturn, and Mercury are in. Look what houses they're in. I'll explain more about that in the training, but it's a little more advanced, right? So bear with me. I'm going to say a couple of these here, and then we'll get into the weekly horoscope. So if you're not super familiar with astrology yet, or Vedic astrology, this might be a little over your head, but try to follow along. It helps to look at your chart when I say these. And you can also look at your chart and imagine the transits happening over your chart too, and see if this can resonate to you. Mars in the fifth house in its own sign, and Venus in the 11th. So both of those things together is a Dawn Yoga. So that would be like Mars in the fifth house in Aries or Scorpio. And then you also have Venus in the 11th house. That is an indicator of good wealth. Like, these are very fortunate, auspicious yogas. They can actually be canceled out. So it gets layered and layered. But generally, these are going to be good indicators of wealth in your life. If you have Jupiter in its own sign in the Lagna and it's associated with Mars and Mercury, then that is a Dawn Yoga. So Jupiter in the first house in Sagittarius or Pisces, associated with Mars and Mercury, which could be all three planets in the first house or aspects, Mars and Mercury, either way, from Jupiter or to Jupiter. If you have Sun in the fifth house in Leo, and also the Moon, Jupiter, and Saturn in the 11th house, that is a Dawn Yoga. If you have Venus in Taurus or Libra in the ascendant, and associated with Mercury and Saturn, that is a Dawn Yoga. So Venus in Taurus or Libra as the ascendant, and associated with Mercury and Saturn. So either aspected by or with or conjunct them, that is a Dawn Yoga. One more example, here is Saturn in its own sign in the Lagna, associating with Mars and Jupiter. So that'd be Saturn in Capricorn or Aquarius, maybe conjunct Mars and Jupiter, or with an aspect from Mars and Jupiter. And we saw a degree of this in 2020, and Saturn was in Capricorn with Mars and Jupiter, and we actually saw a huge bump in the economy. Like, it kind of didn't make sense with the pandemic happening and all this. There was a giant boost in the economy, and a lot of stocks went through the roof, and crypto went through the roof, and then crashed down later after Rahu and Taurus ended, which ended the bull market of Rahu and Taurus a bit later. Now, that's another topic, but just an example of how we saw this recently in the world events, and that's even separate from, you know, what you would see in your birth chart. So if you don't have these in your birth chart, does not mean you'll never be wealthy. There's many other Dawn Yogas I didn't cover today. Those are some of the, just some of them, you know. But if you don't have in your birth chart, then you may experience them through transits. Speaking of transits, this week we've got a few transits to look at. First of all, Monday, May 15th, Sun in Taurus for 31 days. I covered this on the monthly horoscope, so go back to that. But this is a great time to address your finances, your practical matters, stability, security, home, safety, family. And you'll get a lot of energy from handling these things, your material needs, starting May 15th for 31 days. On Tuesday, May 16th, Mars in Pushya Nakshatra for 23 days. Mars in Pushya, it is a nurturing and assertive energy. Pushya is in Cancer. It's associated with caring and compassionate qualities, and Mars as a strong drive and motivation to take action in this area. Good time to do self-care, vigorous yoga practice, things that help you nourish yourself through physical activity. Friday, May 19th, we have the new moon in Kritika Nakshatra. Time for new beginnings. It's the end of the eclipse season, and now we begin the new moon. So it's a nice kind of closure to the wild ride of the past month, past 6 weeks. And now you're in a new phase of life, setting new intentions. Kritika is associated with the power of fire, the Shakti, the spiritual power of fire, and cutting through obstacles. Kritika cuts, and it purifies. So the new moon here brings a focus on emotional connection, nurturing, and intuition. On that day, Friday, May 19th, a great time to do a fire ceremony or a puja. And one way you could do this, a simple way, is write out what you're grateful for and burn it. Or you could write out what you're afraid of and burn that. There's different ways to look at this. Like, you could burn things to let them go, like non-attachment. You can burn things to let them go, as in, like, I release this. I no longer hold on to these fears or anxieties. Or I release these things I'm grateful for and create space for more. And I don't cling to it. But some sort of fire ceremony, very powerful. Even just having candles lit, taking a candlelit bath. These kind of things, wonderful way to work with this energy on Friday, May 19th. Saturday, May 20th, Venus in Punar Vasu for 13 days. Venus, the planet of love, beauty, and relationships in Punar Vasu. It's a renewal energy. It's coming out of Ardra. Venus has been in Ardra, which is quite dramatic and intense for relationships. I've seen a lot of people recently in sessions and working with people going through deep emotional stuff in relationships. If that's you, there is relief coming, sort of dawn after the darkness. That's not the right one. I'm thinking of like when it rains and pours all night and it's like a stormy night. And then you get up in the morning and it's like, oh, the sun's coming out. It feels so warm and there's dew on all the grass. That's Punar Vasu kind of energy, return of the light, renewal, new beginnings. So with the new moon the day before, and now Venus and Punar Vasu, there's a new beginnings in relationships starting on May 20th. It brings a focus on love, pleasure, and beauty. What you love, yourself, relationships. Relationships always start with relationship to self. You cannot love someone else any better than you can love yourself to some degree. You can challenge that. Go for it. I encourage you to challenge anything I say. But I strongly feel and have experienced that as you care and love for yourself better, that will be reflected in your relationships too. And it makes it easier to love others. And the more true you are to yourself, the more easy it is to be true to others. So if you are struggling with relationships, there is some relief in sight on May 20th. And then on May 21st, Mercury in Bharani Nakshatra. Again, time for beginning, birthing new things, what you want to bring into life, especially in business and communication. So that is a look at the transits this week. Again, quietmindastrology.com. You can get your free weekly horoscopes there, get your free birth chart, and schedule a reading. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. Thank you for listening to the Quiet Mind Astrology podcast.